Welcome to Angels Among Us, the podcast where we share real stories of angelic encounters. Each episode, you'll hear firsthand accounts of divine protection, guidance, and miraculous interventions that remind us we're never truly alone. Whether through a whisper of comfort, an unseen hand of protection, or an unmistakable presence, angels are closer than we think. Join us as we explore these powerful experiences of angels, both seen and unseen. Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of Angels Among Us. We are joined today. Well, this is Brent and Michaela. I always forget to introduce us, but
we're not the important ones anymore.
No, we're not. We are joined here by Tom Lane. We are so excited to hear Tom's story. I've heard a tiny bit. The way I got in contact with Tom was I saw him post on a former professional baseball player Facebook page that we are both members of. And his story caught my eye, and I sent him a message immediately and kind of told him what we're about. And he's been able to listen to a couple episodes, and he's willing to share his story. So I am thrilled and excited. So Tom, why don't you go ahead and give us a brief introduction with yourself, and then you can go ahead and get going on your story.
Okay, first of all, thank you for having me here, you too. My name's Tom Lane. I'm 56 years old. I had to look down because I'm wearing flip-flops. I got to use my fingers and my toes to count. You know? I'm 56 years old. I'm married to my best friend. And also one of the angels in my life. I have three boys, one biological, who's a professional player. One is my nephew, who we pretty much raised. He's a police officer in West Palm Beach. And then I have DJ, our youngest, and the love of our lives, little Haitian boy that we adopted when he was 10 years old. And he actually is down at my mother's house helping my brother and sister because my mother was diagnosed with dementia. So he's helping them. He's trying to become an electrician. So I have a house full of dogs. I love them, but, you know, they're, I have my, emotional support dog that, isn't just so I could take the dog everywhere because I don't. Her name is Snooky because she is, she's really little and she's got attitude. So we named her Snooky after the girl on Jersey Shore. So that, tells you a little bit about me. And I also have my best friend dog that's named Frankie because he looks like a little, I'm Italian. He just looks like one of us. but my story starts out, probably about 2016. I've never been one to go to the doctor. Okay. And, I noticed something in my lip, and I would ask my son Carmine, who's the baseball player. I would be driving him to school because I had worked there, and I'd say, "You see anything different about my lip?" And he saw me every day. You know, like we see our kids every day, we don't notice they're getting taller, you know, but everybody else does. So. One day I was doing the traffic at his school, and a lady said, "What happened to your face?" So then I started thinking, and I knew I was sick, you know. But my wife came to me one day and said, "Get your butt off the couch. We're going to the emergency room, or I'm going to leave." And I couldn't have that. So I went. And the nurse said, that doesn't look good. So I had to wait. They did some tests, and I was in the room, and we have a very close friend of ours that is just knows how to make you laugh, you know, in the worst times. And she came there to see us. And when her and my wife get together, it's like watching the I Love Lucy show. It's just two people that don't have any sense together, you know, they're just funny. And, I was sitting there listening to them, and it really wasn't affecting me the same way. There was something wrong. I was worried. And I looked down at my watch, and it was 7:59 p.m. on June 19th, 2017. And the doctor came in a couple minutes later, and he confirmed that he said, you have cancer. It's not good. I'm going to send you down to Miami and have them look at it and see what can be done. And I said, okay. But when he came in, I didn't feel anything. You know, I didn't worry about anything. It was like somebody saying, oh, you broke your big toe. You're going to be able to play on it, but you broke your big toe. I had cancer. And the doctor told me if I would have waited until my son graduated, I wouldn't ever see him graduate. So I thought, okay. Then that night, I had to break it to my mother and my brother and my sister. And my sister said, my brother said, are you kidding me? I said, no. And he sent me a text with a picture of his cell phone. Now, my dad died in 2011. And the caller ID on his cell phone was my parents' house phone calling his phone. He heard it ring. And it said, Dad. Now, my parents' house phone wouldn't say Dad. It would say George Lane. It said, Dad. At 8:03, June 19th. The day I was diagnosed, and probably the exact time the doctor diagnosed me. And that's why I know that's why I had such a calmness, because I knew that what God needed my dad for on January 29th, 2011, he let him have a break. For the last 8 years, because he's been letting me handle everything that's happened in my life. So I went through a 10-hour surgery. They took my lip off and they drilled into my chin and they cut me from ear to ear and they took out all 70 lymph nodes. And on my arm right here, I don't know if you could see, that's my new lip. And from my leg, that's what's there now. And I look like this because only 5% of people don't have two like ligaments right here. You probably both do. I'd bet my house on it. So they couldn't use that to hang my lip and do a better job. So I'll look like the Geico lizard for the rest of my life. But I was in the hospital for a week, and they would come in, and the only thing I really remember is they would come in and cut my lip because they were trying to get life in it, and it didn't hurt. And the whole time, every time I was awake, I was just, I'm good. I'm fine. I went to have my treatment, and I had blisters in my mouth. I couldn't eat. I couldn't take the medicine. Nothing, and I was fine. You know, I would laugh and they would yell at me kidding around, because when I would be having my treatment, I'd be messing around, and I would even think to myself, why am I doing this? Why am I like this? But I had that calmness. And, you know, I went through a lot of treatments, and then I had to go from my, to see about my teeth, because I had to have my teeth removed, or they would rot. And I thought, all right, well, I'll do that because I can get dentures or something, you know, or bat, you know, bat, baseball assistant team. Talk about an angel. Oh, my God. They've done, Tim McDonald, done so much for me. I couldn't get teeth. They would have paid for it. I went to get the teeth, but because of my treatments, they would have to take my shin bone and make a new jaw. And the doctor, literally crying, the doctor was crying, said, you have to make a decision whether you're going to walk or you're going to, you know, be able to eat. And I said, I want to walk. You know, I didn't know all the other stuff was going to happen. And I had, Carmine was a junior in high school, and DJ was young. I think he was 11. And I wanted to be able to walk, you know. I didn't worry about eating. I'm Italian. I'll figure it out, you know. I went to get dentures. My son got drafted, and he got a signing bonus, and my wife got me in the car and drove me to a place. My son paid for me to have my dentures from the signing bonus. And they gave me tops, but I can't get bottoms because it'll kill me. The way my jaw is, they'd have to shave it. And the doctor said, 100% I will get a infection because my jaw is so brittle, so in bad shape, I guess. And it would kill me. It would kill me. So I decided to look like Robert Redford instead of Brad Pitt. That was the hard decision I had to make, you know. So I decided, all right, so I wear my uppers until I have to eat because they flop around. There's no good gum, whatever, that you use anymore. So I'm doing all right, and my son, Carmine, meets this young girl, beautiful, beautiful softball player. And, I'm going about my thing, and my son goes to Kenosha, Wisconsin to play in the Northwoods League in the summer. Well, it just so happened that, that his girlfriend went up to visit her family in Minnesota and drove down. And she was complaining about her arm bothering her. And I didn't think anything of it. And then when we got back and he got back, she would come over to our house. We'd watch movies. We'd mess around. And she kept on going like this. And I said, I won't say her name. I said, what the heck is wrong with you? And I said, you're taking my attention away from the show, you know, stop. She said, my arm has been tingling. I said, go to the doctor. She said, I did. They said I had a pinched nerve. And I said, then there you go. She said, it's been 3 weeks. I said, oh, okay. So when Carmine came out, I said, you got to take her to see the trainer. And they sent her for an MRI. And my son took her there, and they said that she had a stroke. you know, it was a little weird. She had a stroke. Somebody's with her all the time. Wouldn't we be able to tell if she had a stroke? Well, the next day, she liked my pasta. So I went to the house, to my son's apartment, and I made pasta and everything because she loves it. And she kept on saying, you know, we got a call, and they said that there's a chance it could be cancer. And I said, get out of here. There's no way it's cancer, you know? And I didn't know. We just, that's what people do, you know? People who care about you try to make you feel better, you know? I didn't really know. But then my son, usually he'll text and say, you awake? This time he didn't. He called. It's 1:30 in the morning. And he said she's got cancer. I said, all right, that's not, I love to joke around, but that's not something to joke around about. He said, Dad, I would never joke around about that. Brain cancer. Oh, my gosh. So I woke my wife up, and you know, I told her, and she called my son back and said, do you want us to come there now? And he said, no, I just want to leave her be and let her try to sleep some. The next day went, and, you know, she had all these tests, and it turned out, I can't say it. I mean, I can't say what kind it is because I'm just not that smart to remember that. But I called glioblastoma.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I called a friend of mine who's a trauma surgeon. And I told him, and he said, Tom, that's not good. I said, please, doc, don't tell me that. I said, he's 19 years old. And he said, Tom, it's not good. He said, if you want me to talk to Carmine, I'll talk to him. I said, no, that's all right. I'll do it. So I watched this girl, this young lady, and I don't think I ever saw her without a smile on her face. I learned a lot about the Lord and the Bible from my son, who was 20, 21 at the time. And I would say, Carmine, what are you going to do? And he said, I'm just going to let God handle it. And I said, what? You can't just do that. And he said, yeah, I can. I'm going to let God handle it. So my wife, being the person she is, if she had a nickel and she was starving, she'd give it to somebody else so they can eat, you know? We were hurting. She had four jobs. She lost jobs because she was helping her, taking care of me, and I couldn't work. I was in a wheelchair, and she said, I want to take Carmine and his girlfriend. I'm not disrespecting her. I just don't have permission to use her name. And I don't want to just, I just don't want to upset anybody. She decided we're taking them to the Tampa Zoo. Okay. We took them. And I just sat and I watched. Well, she said to my son, she said, I gotta go use the restroom. So he said, okay. And he went and he stood by the door. And she came out. She couldn't use her left arm. It was just there. And, She was wearing, I guess ladies call them leggings. And she came out without thinking. My son was talking to me and helped her finish putting it up. I'm like, okay. Then we decided to get something to eat. And I would never talk to her about anything about her, what she called it, her situation. Heck of a situation. In front of my son. Never. She would talk to me because I was going through the same horrible disease, but different. And, the food came, and they're both having a conversation with my wife and I. My son grabs her plate, slides it over, and is cutting. Like, what is he doing? What is he doing? He was cutting her food for her. It's just they shared this thing, you know? And it even happened on the day of the draft. She went down there with us. She stayed down there with us. She said, I don't care how I feel. I'm going to be there. She came down there and she walked up to him and she handed him her pills. And he was talking to me and his agent at the time. And didn't even look at her. She put the pills. He took them. He opened them, handed them back to her. I'm thinking, my God. God can't let this relationship, this love end, you know? But going back to the zoo, my son got up and went to the restroom. And I said her name, and I said, I gotta ask you, how do you do this? But she knew. She knew she was gonna go to heaven pretty soon. And, she didn't even think. I said, how do you do this? I know what I go through, you know? But you're 20 years old now. She's 20. I said, you're 20 years old. And she looked me right in the eye. She said, Mr. Lane, if I worried about everything I couldn't control, I would never have a good day. And I thought to myself, oh my gosh. Even though I knew what the outcome was going to be, God put this young lady in my son's life, my wife and I's life, my other boys' lives, because she had something to teach us in her short time with us, the 3 years that they dated. And, I really think of her as an angel because she never complained. She not once told my son, I don't want you to go to spring training. I don't want you to be away. And, my youngest, I was, I picked him up from his SATs after she passed away. I'm sorry I'm jumping. It just comes to me different, you know.
You're okay.
He doesn't talk much, and he talks less since she passed, my adopted son. And I looked at him. I said, how'd you do? And he started tearing up. And I said, DJ, what's the matter? And he said, she would have called me this morning, early in the morning, to wish me luck. And she would have called me already to see how I did. I said, you miss her? said, yeah, Dad, I miss her a lot. I said, she's not gone. And I told him about what she said to me. And now, you know, my son was with a teen. He hit 359 his first year. And they turned him into a catcher. He was an All-American in college. You gotta stop that. You're making it come to me, young lady. I'm a man, dang it. I know the hat tells you differently, but... they turned him into a catcher. And he was an All-American third baseman, you know? But he's been brought up. You do whatever they tell you. And he had 359 first year. And then she passed away during spring training. That year, he just... You know, the old saying that we had, he couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat, you know? And they released him. And the coach had come up to me during a year and introduced himself. And I said, you know, Carmine's struggling. And he goes, no, he's fine. You know, he's fine. He's going to come out of it. I said, you don't know? And I told him, I said, you know, his girlfriend died a month ago. He said, I didn't know that. And they still released him. But he's okay. He's fighting it. He talks to her all the time. And, you know, she's his angel now. And... You know, we see all the time, you know, things come up. Her favorite song was that real long song by Queen, something Rhapsody or something. And she made my son watch that movie every time they would get together, and that was a lot. And... Every time I would go to a store or go to a flea market, I love flea markets, I would see shirts from Queen. And, you know, and I'm telling you, for 8 years, I've been relaxed. I honestly believe that, I don't believe, I know. I don't like saying I believe because I know. And I don't like saying make contact. It's make an impact, you know. It's I just have my certain ways, and I know that God gave my dad these years to get me and my family through everything. My son Carmine reads the Bible every night. He'll come in to me excited about a verse, or, you know, he misses his girlfriend. Unbelievable. But he knows now she can play softball again. And he knows now she can you know, listen to Queen every day. And, you know, he put something on his Instagram of her in the hospital bed, giving the USF bull sign. And that's his first picture on his Instagram. And he said on there, I miss you. I know I will see you again. And I will do everything possible to make you proud. And he's never changed that, you know? Don't take her to any movies, man. Take her to Dumb and Dumber. Take her to stuff like that, you know?
I cry over anything.
Oh, thanks. I thought my story was good.
No. No, good, but it's, yeah, I felt definitely in your story. That's what it is.
It's, you know, I try to talk to kids and stuff about, you know, the dangers of smokeless tobacco. And I try to talk to them about that. But then it gets to, I talk to them about making mistakes that are going to harm your life, but about always having trust. You know, I mean, it took me 3 weeks to look in the mirror after my surgery. And I laughed. Someone made me laugh. Because this is for a reason. For a reason. And I wake up every morning in a good mood because I woke up. But I'm also not afraid of anything. I worry for my family, but I'm not afraid. Because on 8:03, June 19, 2017, I felt it. I felt it. The love, you know? And I have met so many unbelievable people by being sick. And now, my treatments, probably a little bit of love of beer. My liver's shot. So I'm on the transplant list. And they took me off because my wife saved up for the family to go on a cruise. Well, when there's free food, a fat man will eat. And I gained some weight. So they took me off. I'm now back on, thank God. And, I don't know how much longer I have, but the time that I have, I'm thankful for. And, you know, the angels that I have in my life, my wife, just four jobs. She has, I don't know if I could do some of the stuff that she's had to do for me. I mean, I hope I never do have to, but she's talk about angel. I have a lot of them in my life. And that's what I think people don't understand. Everybody wants to talk about politics and talk about all this stuff. Why don't you see the good? See what God's put. I'm looking right now at these two trees that are just beautiful. And God put them there. I mean, everything. I don't know, people, I just think have to wake up and realize that the love that God has for us, and people got to stop thinking, why me? And start not worrying about things you can't control and have good days and make people laugh and hug people and tell people that they look pretty because, you know what, they spent 3 hours in the bathroom trying to look that way. You know, but just, oh, God's opened my eyes because I see beauty in and everybody, I ramble, but
no, that is beautiful. And you talk about your change of heart, and kind of one of the most, probably hearing some of the most difficult news in your life, and you had a change of heart, and then being able to get to know and learn from Carmine's girlfriend and her kind of also helping change your heart. And now, whether you realize it or not, you are undoubtedly an angel to many people. And I think that's so much of what God wants us to learn, is how can we help other people? And
isn't that the greatest thing in the world? Isn't it? I mean, it's like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but it's Christmas, okay? I absolutely love giving presents. I can't stand, I don't want to use hate, because that's really a word I'm trying not to use. I don't like receiving stuff. I like giving stuff. I like to help somebody. I don't know. I mean, it makes you feel, a lack of a better word, a better way of explaining it. Like, not godlike, but,
you can say godlike. That's, I think that's what we're all trying to do, is trying to be like him and love like him. And you're exactly right. When we're able to give and provide a service for somebody else and lift them up when they're feeling down, you can't tell me that's not what God would do himself, or is using us, right? He could do it by himself, without a doubt, but we learn by helping others. We learn how to be like him by helping others. And wow. I think that's totally appropriate to be able to say that.
I totally see that. Since that calmness came over me, I feel like I'm clean, you know? I feel like I was a normal boy that could get dirty in the bath, you know? And I feel clean now. I feel like I can really look and say, listen, I wasn't always on the right side of the tracks, you know? I was probably Eddie Haskell, maybe worse, you know? But now, I know that I am a good person, and God is real. This isn't a made up tale. This is real. This is absolutely 100% real. And it feels so great, you know? It really does. I my son's friend said, Tom, you should go to what is that, open mic night. I said, no, why would I do that? Why would I do that? I just like being an idiot and making people, you know, I do. I like making people laugh. And my wife sometimes will say, She didn't think that was funny. I said, she will when she thinks about it. Nothing bothers me really anymore, you know? That's just the way I am. Because we're all going to meet someday, you know? We're all going to meet someday. And, I mean, I don't, there's no feeling bad for me. Number one, I did it to myself. And number two, I know where I'm going. I really do. I know where I'm going.
What a beautiful perspective. And, yeah, you, Tom, you can help a lot of people having that perspective, that attitude, and also by making them laugh. Laughing is some of the best medicine ever.
It's first of all, I still don't believe that women don't go by looks, they go by sense of humor, because I would have a harem, I think. I told my wife, I said, I can't screw around when we go see Carmine play in Utah. She said, why? I said, because they all have like 7 wives. I can't afford that. Can't afford it.
Hey, be careful. We're LDS.
Oh, gosh. Oh.
Hey, but we can laugh. It's funny, even though it's not true, but it's funny.
It's pretty funny. Hey, listen. You know, I tend to screw around the wrong times. You know, when I had to have kidney surgery, that almost killed me. But before I went over, I went under, I pushed the mask away and I said, make sure that you're taking care of my kidney and not giving me a vasectomy. Because I might want to have some kids. And they thought, what's wrong with you?
You know, it's a good thing that there is humor in this, because I've had a lot of friends that lately have listened to our podcast and the episodes, and they're like, man, you have gotten me to cry more than anything. So I'm really excited about this episode because they're going to cry and laugh.
Oh, my mom, who has dementia, is going to remember one thing. He's always an idiot. I'll get that. You know, Italian families, it's, you know, I told a girlfriend of mine years ago, we went up to visit my grandma Supa and all of them, you know. Italian women are maybe 5'3", but they hit like Tyson. And I told her, do yourself a favor, do not sit in between my grandma and my Aunt Clara. She said, why? I said, don't do it. She couldn't move her arms for the whole trip because they would say, hey, you know, they beat the heck out of her. I warned her. You know, I warned her. There's funny things just everywhere. People gotta relax and just laugh, you know, laugh, because I think laughter is, okay, here goes an SAT word, I probably got it wrong when I was in high school, cathartic, is that the right word?
Cathartic?
Yeah. Is that the right word for, oh, hey, yeah.
Hey, I think so, I'm gonna... I like to act like I know what I'm talking about all the time, so yes.
Well, you're doing a good job of it, because you just made me think that I did. I'm going to go look that thing up, and it's going to say something totally different. And
no, I think you're right.
I hope I'm right. Sometimes I try to use big words, and they just don't work, you know.
So, Tom, we like to ask at the end if anyone is going through the same situation, or maybe they have a family member who has gone through similar situations as you, what is some advice that you would recommend or give?
Well, I think of everything like baseball. And there's a reason why there's different jobs sort of in a lineup. You know, you got your leadoff hitter, you got your number nine hitter. They're both fast. They get on. The two hitter can control things. You can move the ball around. And the 3, 4, and 5 driving in. Well, the coach isn't going to put you in a spot that you don't belong, that you can't handle, because it's not good for the team. Well, to explain what I'm thinking, how I look at things, is God is the coach. The team is the world. And God doesn't give you something that you can't handle. You might think you shouldn't be batting fourth, but the coach always pretty much, well, except in pro ball, right, Brent, knows more than you, and you can handle it. God will give you something that you think is terrible. Why me? Because you can handle it. Because your neighbor can't. I can handle this. I can handle it. I go to bed every night not knowing if that was the last time I put my head on my pillow. Sometimes it's hard, but, you know, because I think of my family, but I know that God has been unbelievable to us, and He doesn't make mistakes. Not one time that we make mistakes. And He gave His only Son for all of us. And He didn't just take Him. He suffered. Why am I any better? I'm not getting nails put through my hands and my feet and stabbed in the side and having to have a crown on my head of thorns and then carry a heavy, heavy, heavy cross. No. All I have to do is look a little odd. Not be able to do a lot of things, you know. Probably never be allowed to take a shower by myself again. Oh my gosh, that's annoying. That's annoying.
I can imagine.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, you're the man. I'm so glad that you were willing to share with us and
I am thankful that you, you know, approached me on it. I mean, here's a question that you guys don't ask. If you asked it, it would be perfectly fine. But people could sit here and say, okay, they couldn't have kids. And look at this couple. I mean, you're not going to birth a child that looks like a Rottweiler. You know, you're going to have beautiful children. And God, that wasn't His plan, because there was two other kids that need loving parents. that are God-fearing, that, you know, I mean, does that not prove? It proves it. Because, listen, Brent, you're a good-looking guy. I'm not, you know, let's just get that straight. But, you guys make beautiful kids. She's all right. I mean, your wife's all right. But at least a kid would know how to wear a hat, right?
That's right.
But, yeah, you know, people got to think about that. It drives me crazy, these stars that sit there and they say atheist. There's one guy that says, I'm a happy atheist. Really? Okay. All right, you're happy atheist. Why don't you try it our way, and which is the truth, and you'll be happier. How about that?
Amen.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy.
Thinking about truth.
Oh. Look at that. I threw a segue out.
Perfect. Yeah, if you'd like to share something you know to be true.
Oh. That I know to be true. Family is everything. And when you think about it, we're all family because we came from two people. Family is everything. So that isn't, and that isn't true. Be patient with people. All of us aren't the sharpest tack in the box. That's life. But the truth is that nobody's perfect. There's only one man that was perfect, and he died on a cross. And God may not answer every prayer that you want answered, because he knows the playbook. And he's not going to throw Deion Sanders' way. He's going to go the other way, because that's better. So if you have patience, because where we're all going to end up, it's beautiful. That's real.
More than we can comprehend, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, I have thoroughly enjoyed spending the last hour with you. It's been incredible.
I was afraid almost. That it wasn't. Oh.
You did amazing, and I don't know. I've loved all the podcasts that we've done, the episodes that we've done, but you sure made me feel the spirit in a way that.
Careful, your husband's right next to you. Yeah. It's just a hat, Brent. I'll send you one. Just a hat. Who is everybody's favorite on Gilligan's Island? Gilligan. Right? There you go.
Oh, boy.
We need more people in the world like you, that's for sure.
Wait, hold on. Let me yell for my wife until you can tell her. Oh, God.
Well, we're going to really let everybody get out of here.
All right. And, thank you.
Thank you so much.
God bless you.
We'll see y'all next week.
Thanks for joining us on Angels Among Us. You can find us on YouTube and wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow along for more stories of everyday miracles and reminders that angels are among us. If you have a story to share, please email or DM us with a brief summary. We'd love to hear from you. And remember, when we are waiting, God is working.